بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation on the description of the Salah. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي ثُلَاثِيَّةٍ أَوْ رُبَاعِيَّةٍ نَهَضَ مُكَبِّرًا. And if he was praying the third rak'ah prayers or a fourth rak'ah prayers, we know the third rak'ah is the Maghrib, and we know the fourth rak'ah is Dhuhr, Asr and Isha. So after the first tashahud, and this is what we explained earlier, then if he is praying a three rak'ah salah or a four rak'ah salah, then he stands up making takbir, saying Allahu Akbar. This is after the first tashahud. He stands up with takbir, and he also raises his hands, because this is what is authentically reported from Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Then he continues the salah by reciting the Fatiha. Now he should not make takbirat ihram, for example, here. No. Nor should he make an opening dua. Remember? Nor he should make ta'awwudh, like saying, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Nor should he renew the intention. Sufficient for him to recite the Fatiha. And that this should not be loud. This should be silent. Even if he is praying the Jahriya Salah, the loud prayer, these two rak'ah, he recites the Fatiha in them silently. Is that clear so far? Can he add additional surah to the Fatiha? In these salat, in these rak'ahs? In one narration, from the hadith of Abi Qatada, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited in these last rak'ahs the Fatiha only. However, in the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, there is indication that he recited other than the Fatiha. Because in the hadith of Abi Sa'id radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray in the first rak'ahs with surah, and in the last he used to recite half of that. Some of the ulama gave preponderance to the hadith of Abi Qatada, because it is agreed upon, and the hadith of Abi Sa'id is in Sahih Muslim. And because the hadith of Abi Qatada, there was a firm statement by the narrator when he said, بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ فَقَطْ. He recited the Fatiha only. However, in the hadith of Abi Sa'id, The narration says, حَذَرْنَا قِيَامَهُ أَيْ خَرَصْنَاهُ وَقَدَّرْنَاهُ. We guessed his qiyam, how long it takes. And there is a determination. There is a difference between firm determination and between guessing. So they guessed in the hadith of Abi Sa'id, the companions guessed, and from their guessing they concluded that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited other than the Fatiha as well in the last two rak'ahs. So this is a preponderance for the hadith of Abi Qatada. However, there is a possibility of reconciliating the two narrations. So it is to be said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do this sometimes, as indicated by the hadith of Abi Sa'id, and sometimes he did not add additional surah to the Fatiha in the last two rak'ah, as mentioned by the hadith of Abi Qatada, because the salah is not the same one for us to conclude that there is opposition between the two narrations. And the Prophet ﷺ, every day he makes five daily prayers. And therefore, if we are able to reconcile, then we must refer to the reconciliating of the two narrations before we say that one of them is abrogating the other, or before we resort to preponderance. إِذَا أَمْكَنَ الْجَمْعُ وَجَبَ الرُّجُوعُ إِلَيْهِ قَبْلَ أَن نَقُولَ بِالنَّسْخِ أَوْ بِالتَّرْجِيحِ. If it is possible to reconcile two narrations, then one must resort to reconciliation before concluding that one is abrogating the other or resorting to preponderance. So therefore, it can be said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, therefore, in conclusion, sometimes in his prayers he recited additional surah to the Fatiha in the last two rak'ah, and sometimes he didn't. Is this now clear, inshallah? طيب الحمد لله. Then after the two rak'ah, يجلس في تشهده الأخير متوركا. Then he sits in his final تشهد in a تورك posture. In a تورك posture. How is this? يخرج الرجل اليسرى من الجانب الأيمن مفروشة ويجلس على مقعدته على الأرض وتكون الرجل اليمنى منصوبة وهذه إحدى صفات التورك. He would sit with his left foot pushed. He pushes his left foot forward and sits on his buttock, keeping the other foot upright, this is one way of the manner of tawarruk. So he keeps the foot propped up and sits over his buttocks with the left foot pushed to the right side. Another way, another manner, أن يفرش القدمين جميعا. و ويخرجهما من الجانب الأيمن. The other way is to lap both on the ground. Lay them both on the ground. Both feet on the ground. And protruding from the right side. They both on the ground, protruding from the right side. The third is يفرش اليمنى ويدخل اليسرى بين فخذي وساق الرجل اليمنى. The left foot under his right thigh and chin, with the right foot laid along the ground. The left foot under his right thigh and chin, with the right foot laid along the ground. Left foot under his right thigh and shin, with the right foot laid along the ground. All of these manners were reported All of these came reported from the Prophet ﷺ in describing the posture of tawarruk at the end of salah when sitting for tashahud. So therefore, what's the ruling therefore? The ruling is, the person does this form sometimes, and then the other times. This is based upon the great principle that worships that are of different types, the person should do them in accordance with all of these different types. So sometimes he does this type, then the other. And this is there in this. We have mentioned many benefits from this, including this diversification is very, very important concerning many worships which are done in different manners. Because in this way, this is better in following the sunnah. In this way he will be doing the entire forms of the sunnah, of the worship itself. Secondly, the second benefit from this is في هذا حفظ للشريعة بأنواعها. In this manner, if it is done with these various ways, then there is a preservation of Sharia in all of its forms. Thirdly, this is better in terms of making the heart present. What does this mean? Because if the person sticks to one manner, then this becomes like a habit. But if he diversifies and brings all the forms of the worship, then in this case, this is better in bringing the presence of the heart. Also, from the benefits is making it easy upon the worshipper. Take for example, this is evident in the remembrances after salah. Some of the ways include 33 subhanallah, 33 alhamdulillah, 33 Allahu Akbar. Another form is to do it 10 times subhanallah, 10 times alhamdulillah, 10 times Allahu Akbar. So at certain times, the person may need this easy remembrance. So there will be an ease for the worshipper. Also, from the benefits, is bringing activity to the worshipper, activates him so that it doesn't become boring. And the ulama mentioned even more than that, but this is just to illustrate the importance of the point of making these worships, not sticking to one of them. So he sits with this tawarruk, in this tawarruk position, in one of these forms we mentioned earlier, and he puts his left palm to cover his left knee, leaning heavily on it. What about the case of the woman? The woman is like the man in these postures, because there is no evidence to distinguish them in ruling from men. And in principle, men are like women in terms of the ruling, and women are like men in terms of the ruling, as long as there is no specification for either one of them. Like, for example, the general leadership of the Ummah, like the position of the judges, the justice, and the like. These are particular to men. However, a woman may take the position of leadership in limited situations, like, for example, head of a school, or if she is traveling with some other woman, she may be an amira for them, and the like. Some of the scholars mentioned, like in these postures, in some of these postures, for example, in ruku', we know that the Prophet ﷺ used to spread himself, meaning not in a compact position, and keep his elbows away from his sides. So some of the ulama concluded that the woman should not do that. Rather, she should be in a compact position. Also in the sujood, we know the separation of the elbows away from the side and the thighs away from the shins. So they said that the woman should not do that. Rather, she should gather herself and be compact. So if she makes sujood, then she puts her abdomen on her thighs and her thighs on her shins. And if she is in ruku', then she brings her hands together, not keep the elbows spread away. They said that the evidence for this is to be in harmony with the general rulings in Sharia, for the woman is called to be shielded and having herself in the prayer in these forms of compactness is more shielding than spreading herself in ruku' and or sujood as described in the manner of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. However, this is refuted in the sense that such a reasoning cannot stand to oppose the general texts which indicate that the woman is the same as the man in the rulings, especially when we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," pray as you had seen me praying. And this address is general to men and to women. Also, this is invalidated if she is praying alone. And most of the time, and what is legal for her is to pray alone in her home, not in the presence of men. And therefore, in this case, there will be no need for compactness as long as the men don't see her. So the preponderating opinion, therefore, that the woman does the same as the same actions in salah as done by the man in everything. So she raises her hands and spreads herself and extends her back in ruku' and lifts her abdomen or belly from the lifts it up from the thighs, and the thighs also from the shins in during sujood. And so she does the same as well in terms of the other positions in tawarruk. Nothing is excluded, nothing is exceptional for her in this. There are certain situations where she is different in terms of the ruling, like in terms of the cloth covering and in terms of the recitation. The man recites loudly in the Jahriya Salah, in the loud prayer, and the sunnah with respect to the woman is to be silent. Now, finishing the tashahud, what is to be said after that? After taslim, the musalli makes istighfar three times, saying astaghfirullah three times. Astaghfirullah three times. I seek refuge in Allah. I seek forgiveness from Allah. Three times. This highlights the greatness of this worship. This highlights the greatness of this worship. Many people are negligent regarding the salah in the outward and in the inward actions of the salah. Many are ignorant, or many are actually negligent of what is required them openly and inwardly. Many are those who pray with their outwards, not with their inwards. Also, many are negligent in terms of the apparent actions. So you don't find them putting the hands properly. They don't extend their backs also properly. to level with the head, or in terms of spreading themselves, and so forth. They even may exceed the limit concerning the movements in salah. This is all from shaitan. This is all from shaitan. Shaitan reminds him of many things in salah. Shaitan reminds the musalli about many things. And when he finishes the salah, he makes him forget them. Until the second salah comes, he reminds him of them. And that's why it is mentioned that a man came to Abi Hanifa, rahimahullah, and he said, I forget such and such. I forget such and such. So Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said to this man, idhab fasalli. Idhab fasalli. Go and pray. So the man went, فذهب الرجل وصلى. So the man went and he prayed. And he remembered. He remembered what he forgot before. Why? Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the agreed upon hadith that the shaitan says to the person in his salah, remember such and such. So Abu Hanifa rahimahullah deducted from this hadith that the salah is cause for remembrance. Now, what's important now is the istighfar after the salam meets a great worship. And the istighfar is needed to compensate for the defects done in the salah. We seek refuge in Allah from our defects, and we seek forgiveness from Him. And that's why it is praiseworthy for the person to end his works and actions with istighfar. With istighfar. And to end his life, meaning not to take his life, but to have at the end of his life the remembrance of istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah An-Nasr, verse 1-3, Surah An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. When comes the help of Allah to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the conquest of Mecca, meaning, and you see that the people enter Allah's religion in crowds, so glorify the praises of your Lord and ask for His forgiveness. Ask for His forgiveness. Verily He is the one who accepts the repentance and forgives. Ibn Abbas concluded, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, concluded from these verses that this is the news of death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That this is the news of the Prophet's death. And Umar commented, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu commented and said, ما أعلم منها إلا ما تقول Ibn Abbas. I don't know any other meaning other than what you are saying, O Ibn Abbas. And here the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said concerning this matter, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَرَانِي عَلَامَ إِذَا رَأَيْتُهَا فِي أُمَّتِي أَنْ أُكْثِرَ مِنْ قَوْلِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ وَبِحَمْدِهِ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهَا فَقَرَأَ إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح، فتح مكة، فقد رأيته. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me a sign that if I see it in my ummah, that I should make abundant remembrance of saying subhanallah wa bihamdi, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. And then I saw it. And then he recited these verses. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُّ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ Meaning the, when comes the help of Allah and the conquest, meaning the conquest of Mecca. فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهَا So I saw it. And that's why he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, used to make abundant remembrance of Allah saying, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي سبحانك اللهم I declare you, O Allah, free of all imperfection, our Lord, وبحمدك and by your praising. اللهم اغفر لي forgive me. So now after the salah, after the tashahud and after the taslim, the musalli says three times astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Then after that he says اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. O Allah, you are As-Salam, source of peace and security and perfection. وَمِنْكَ السَّلَامِ And peace is from you. And security and safety is from you. تَبَارَكْتَ يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Most blessed you, O Allah, the one qualified with magnificence and generosity. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. The occasion is apparent. It is as if you are saying اللهم أنت السلام, you are السلام, source of peace and security and perfection, and you are السلام, you are the perfect, free from all defects. فَسَلِّمْ لِي صَلَاتِي مِنَ الرَّدِّ وَالرَّفْضِ So save my salah from being rejected and turned on me. See, the occasion of this dua is very apparent. Why? Because the salah may be accepted and it may not be accepted. قَدْ تُلَفُّ وَيُضْرَبُ بِهَا وَجْهُ صَاحِبِهَا وَلَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ It may be wrapped and thrown at the face of the person himself. We seek refuge in Allah from this. And it may be accepted. And there, those whose salah is accepted, they are the winners. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to make us from them and to make us from those who contemplate the salah and do it in the way that pleases him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make us remember every time we stand in salah that we are standing before Allah the Most High, and to bestow upon us contemplation and submissiveness and tranquility in salah. Then afterwards, he makes the dhikr. He makes the dhikr, the remembrances. And the dhikr came in different forms, as we discussed earlier. It came in different forms. The first way is as follows. To say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, والله أكبر 33 times and ending with لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. So سبحان الله الحمد لله والله أكبر 33 times and then ending by saying لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا الله, there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah alone without a partner or associate. له الملك, to him belongs the kingdom. وله الحمد, and to him belongs all the praise, and he is able to do everything. So this will be a total of 100. This will be a total of 100. 33 times 3, that will be 99. Plus, لا إله إلا الله, وحده لا شريك له, له الملك وله الحمد, وهو على كل شيء قدير. The second manner, to say, سبحان الله 33 times. والحمد لله 33 times. والله أكبر 34 times. To say سبحان الله 33 times. الحمد لله 33 times. And الله أكبر, والله أكبر 34. So the total will be 100. The total will be 100. The third manner is to say Subhanallah 10 times, Alhamdulillah 10 times, Wallahu Akbar 10 times. So the total will be 30. The total will be 30. The fourth manner is to say Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar 25 times. Each. So this will be a total of 100. So this will be a total of 100. Subhanallah walhamdulillah ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر 25 times each. This difference is from the diversification in type. And we know now the importance and the benefits of this. And one should also recite Ayat al-Kursi. One should also recite Ayat al-Kursi. And it's a protection from shaitan. And also recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, Surah Al-Ikhlas 112. وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, Surah 113, Surah Al-Falaq. وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, Surah Al-Nas 114. this brings the end of the discussion on Salah described. And inshallah, in the next chapter, we will talk about disliked matters in Salah. Disliked matters in Salah. Disliked matters in Salah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.